From the WGXE newsroom, this is the WGXE Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Friday, May the 20th, 2016. I'm Philip Grant. Katie Kosajansky is reporting in the Daily Mail that the Catskill Village Board has approved its $4.5 million 2016-17 budget following an appropriations hearing at Catskill High School. Under the village charter, the public is allowed to examine the annual spending plan in detail and to vote on selected budget line items. Under the budget, there are no raises on the horizon for Catskill Village trustees and other elected officials. Annual salaries will remain at $5,000 for village trustee and $14,318 for village justice. Department of Public Works and non-union village employees will see an increase of 2.5% in their paychecks, however. Contract negotiations are currently underway with the Catskill Police Department. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. The Ghent Community Action Network announced on Wednesday, May 18th, the formation of a community broadband task force for Columbia County. According to the group's Facebook page and a statement released by Ghent Town Board member Patty Matheny, Connect Columbia intends to play a role in bringing affordable broadband to the county through advocacy with local, county, state, and federal officials. Members of the Connect Columbia Steering Committee include Matheny, Matthew Nelson, Ichabod Crane School Board member, and regional representative to the Capital Region Regional Economic Development Council, Alexandra Petragilia, a member of the Hudson Development Corporation Board, and representatives from the AmCram, Ghent, and New Lebanon Broadband Committees. According to July 2014 data from the New York State Broadband Program Office, 74% of the county's population is unserved by broadband of 6 megabytes or more per second, which makes Columbia and the neighboring Greene County the two worst-served counties in the state. Now here's a report from Andrea Sears on the Department of Labor's expansion of overtime protections.
The U.S. Labor Department's expansion of overtime protections for salaried employees will have a broad impact on other workers as well. Employers can require salaried workers paid $455 a week or more to work well over 40 hours without any extra pay. The regulations released Wednesday double that. In 1975, more than 60% of all salaried workers were entitled to overtime protection, but today it's only 8%. According to Michael Wasser of Jobs with Justice, when the regulation goes into effect in December, employers will have three options.
They're either going to have to give them their time back by limiting their work to 40 hours in a week, or they will be bumped up to the new threshold. Alternatively, the employer can choose to pay them overtime.
Part-time workers are likely to see their hours and their paychecks increase as well as employers shift hours away from managers who often work 50 or more hours a week. Governor Andrew Cuomo praised the new regulation, saying it will help ensure fairness and equality in the workplace. And Wasser points out the overtime protections supplement the governor's successful efforts to raise the minimum wage in New York.
It's hard to encourage employers to lift the pay of people who are several bands above the minimum wage. This will do that and will bring back overtime protections for many people who've seen it slip.
Some Republicans in Congress have threatened to take action to block the new overtime protections. Congress has 60 legislative days to review new regulations and can pass a bill to stop the change from taking effect. But Wasser says as long as President Obama is in the White House, that's not likely to succeed.
Either the president has to sign the bill, which won't happen, or the Congress needs to have the votes to override the veto, which it currently probably does not have.
The Economic Policy Institute estimates that the new regulation will benefit 12.5 million workers nationwide. For New York News Connection, I'm Andrea Sears.
Now here's a report from Andrea Sears on local school budgets.
Voters across the state of New York approved almost 99% of school budgets on Tuesday. The State School Board Association reports that budgets in only 10 of almost 700 districts in the state were rejected, an approval rating almost identical to last year. Matt Smith with New York State United Teachers calls the vote a resounding endorsement of the direction of New York's public education system.
Voters in every region of the state came out and showed that they have confidence in their public school system, their teachers, and the other professionals.
An increase in state aid to education in the budget for the coming year will help districts maintain or even expand programs for students without increasing local property taxes. 8 of the 10 districts where voters rejected the budget had sought to raise property taxes above the state-imposed cap that this year stands at less than 1/8 of 1%. Smith points out that overriding the tax cap requires a supermajority of 60% of the votes.
That tax cap continues to limit the ability of school districts to raise revenues on the local level that they determine to be necessary to fund critical programs.
Voters in 28 school districts did approve overriding the tax cap, but Smith believes the property tax cap, which is tied to inflation, still robs communities of local control of their school budgets.
So we would like to see that supermajority component done away with so that we return to a more democratic system of one person, one vote.
Those districts that failed to pass a budget on Tuesday can hold a second vote next month. For New York News Connection, I'm Andrea Sears.
Marie J. French is reporting in the Albany Business Review that Northeastern New York lost 12% of its doctors in 2015 with a shortage of medical help. According to a 2015 survey of hospitals and health systems by the Hospital Association of New York, 27% of hospitals are looking to fill positions. A shortage of primary care physicians may make it harder for the state's Medicaid program to reduce avoidable emergency room visits and hospitalizations, according to the Hayes Physician Shortage Report. You can read that full story in the Albany Business Review. Melanie Lekachevic in the Greene County News reports that the Coxsackie Farmers Market opened for its fifth year on May 18th with three new vendors. Nine Pin Cider Works, Lime Kiln Farms, and Gluten Free Dessert Kitchen were added to the market, held Wednesdays in Coxsackie's Riverside Park from 4 to 7 p.m. through September 28th. There are fruits and vegetables, cider, beer, wine, honey, maple syrup, goat's milk, cheese, flowers, baked goods, meat, and goat's milk soap and other products at the market. Market manager Kim Bender said, and I quote, "One thing we are doing different from last year is we will have a master gardener from Cornell Cooperative Extension each week, and they will do free soil testing and answer questions about anything related to the outdoors," end quote. You can read that full story in the Greene County News. Rick Carlin in the Albany Times-Union reports that presidential candidate Donald Trump is in charge of New York's Republican Party, at least when it comes to picking at-large delegates for the party's convention. Former New York governor and presidential candidate last fall, George Pataki, was kept off of New York's slate of delegates by Trump forces in the party. While Pataki was on an earlier list of delegates, he wasn't named on May 18th during a meeting in Colony of party officials. Pataki spokesman Dave Catalfamo said the former governor was not trying to become a delegate and said Pataki won't endorse Trump until he reverses his position on deporting millions of undocumented immigrants. You can read that full story in the Times Union. The summer should be warmer and wetter if the National Weather Service's three-month outlook is to be believed. New York State is predicted to be warmer than average this summer, and more rain is expected from the Albany area to Maine, according to the National Weather Service. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a sunny day for today with a temperature high near 70 degrees. For Friday night, it will be mostly clear in the evenings, then becoming partly cloudy with a temperature low in the upper 40s. The forecast for the weekend, well, on Saturday, it will be partly sunny in the morning, then mostly cloudy with the chance of showers in the afternoon. The temperature high will be in the upper 60s. Saturday night, cloudy with the chance of showers. The temperature low will be in the upper 40s. And on Sunday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers. The temperature high in the upper 60s. Sunday night, mostly cloudy and a chance of showers in the evening with the temperature low in the 50s. Sunrise today was at 5:28 a.m., and the sun will set at 8:15 p.m., providing us with 14 hours and 47 minutes of daylight, 2 minutes more than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Friday, the 20th day of May 2016. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.